Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
Summer. Wait, we need to finish school shopping.
We've got this. Target has $5 lunch boxes.
And now new lower prices on the kids' favorite Good & Gather snacks.
And we're done.
Now, where were we?
When it comes to finishing your supply list, Target has your back to school.
You're listening to The Kylo Show, a podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And this week, I got a little quiz for you. Do you want to be A, a passive communicator, B, an aggressive communicator, C, a passive-aggressive communicator, or D, an assertive communicator? Well, I got a hint for you. You want to be D, an assertive communicator. But knowing the answer and practicing it can be two different things. That's why in this week's episode, Danny and Brittany talk about the number one reason for communication breakdown and how to become a better communicator. So get ready. Here we go. This week's episode starts now.
Welcome back to the Kylo Show.
Here we are.
We are here again tackling some fun stuff.
Yeah.
And this is something that, this topic today is something that everybody does all day long, whether they know it or not.
Mm-hmm. Verbal and nonverbal.
Uh-huh. It is something that happens. It is communication. Mm. We are tackling what is respectful communication. Maybe not everyone does respectful communication, but they do communicate.
I heard that communication gets top billing in relationship problems. Communication, number one problem is, I don't think that's accurate because I think people are doing a fantastic job of communicating high levels of disrespect.
Yes, maybe that's the number one thing is disrespectful communication. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to tackle respectful communication. Mm-hmm. That is the goal for today and kind of just laying out some different things that, I mean, you wrote it in Keep Your Love On, but just key points, mm-hmm. if we could kind of pull this apart for you, mm-hmm. of what is needed in respectful communication.
Well, it does start with Ephesians 4 saying that we are directed to speak the truth. Mm-hmm. This is where the argument starts, in love.
Okay.
So we're going to battle out truth. We're going to judge each other's truth. We're going to have competition with each other's truth. So most communication is a contest.
But it's in love.
Well, no, they forget that part. It's all about truth.
Oh, okay.
It's all about the truth. And guess who's got it? Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, speak the truth in love piece is a whole concept. Hmm. And we keep circling back to keep your love on, right?
Yeah.
That's that. So I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to change that definition in relationship, not biblically, but I'm going to, in relationship, change where truth's coming from in a conversation.
I think that in exchange truth in love, if your goal isn't connection, I don't know that I believe those other two very well.
No.
Which I think is a key thing to just
look at social media.
That's
watch
a good example.
Watch
good
believers example. Communicating mm-hmm. truth. We're gonna I'm willing to kill you over truth.
On social media.
Yeah. And you're like, oh gosh, what a martyr. Oh gosh, that would be the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
That's a murderer.
I think the communication and the connection piece like just kind of go hand in hand with creating a safe place mm-hmm. in, when your goal is truth and love, the outcome is usually you're still experiencing a safe exchange.
Mm-hmm. And safe place has a bad rep these days right now, because it's a lot of a lot of political baggage to that. But literally, communication I've equated it to an eyeball touching contest. You know, like, okay, ready? Okay, I'm gonna, okay, now you, I'll go first. I'm gonna touch your eyeball before I let you touch my eyeball, because we're such sensitive hearts. You know, mm-hmm. there really is a place where I need to feel safe enough to reveal who's in here. Mm-hmm. And it's to communicate. This is how we exchange truth, is by letting you see me. And the more we do that, the more our trust increases. Mm-hmm. So speaking the truth in love is really the formula behind building trusting relationships.
Which sounds very crucial to, I just think, I'm just thinking about my relationship with Ben. I'm like, yes, this is really important to me. I think the most vulnerable I will ever be with him, with what's going on something I need from him or even in my world, is when I've got this safety going on and anxiety is really low, mm-hmm. I can lean in and have those hard conversations to where they produce something, which is usually connection on the other side.
And so learning to communicate in a way that increases the message, I love you, I'll protect you, mm-hmm. I value you when I see you.
Yeah.
And decreasing the fear, the anxiety,
yeah.
the I feel controlled, I feel punished, I feel judged, I feel rejected. So there's a style to communication that jacks up the anxiety, and there's a style of communication that builds a safe place to where we can tell the truth. Mm-hmm. So probably the most common experience of building anxiety between people are passive communicators. Mm. Now, passive communicators classically think they're noble. You know, they think that you matter. What you need, what you feel, what you think matters. What I need, think, and feel does not matter because I don't matter. I am all about you. This whole relationship is all about you. I will be the one who dies daily. I'll leak it out through my moping and depression. But what I won't do is ever let you see me.
Yeah.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
I will be the needless human, which essentially is I will be a lying coward.
Mm, that feels harsh.
I like to call out passive communicators by really flipping back the cover of I'm such a noble martyr to, oh, let's actually examine what's happening here. There's nothing noble about you being this selfish.
Yeah.
There's nothing noble about your lack of commitment to the truth.
Mm. Yeah. And I would say that, I mean, I've known a couple passive communicators, and I think that is very true, that illusion of nobility to their cause, mm-hmm. but really it's so much fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am a recovering passive communicator. Okay. So I feel like an authority on this part of the subject. Probably why I come out so hard is that it's so destructive and it's so deceptive. It's deceptive to the passive communicator, because they actually do believe that I'm taking one for the team. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm such a martyr. I'm laying my life down and I get eaten. But, you know, it's so that others won't. Like, no. You are training people to bring disrespect to the family, to the relationship, to the marriage. You're training that person to have no value for what you need because you never set it out there. And it's not because you're needless. It's because you're gutless. Mm. You are a coward in that behavior. And that, you know, if you check out that list, that murderer and thief and coward are all in that list. And I think it's in Galatians. Yeah, I'd have to look it up. But it's, you know, it's not pretty.
Yeah.
And so being a lying coward is a fear injection into your communication style.
Which, you know, I think the passive communicator looks noble. So then the aggressive communicator, which would be what more my style has been, gets looked at as, you know, the scary dragon that walks around setting the village on fire, you know, and that is, I'm scared too. And I'm a coward in some sense as well, but my, it comes out as rage and anger. Because I'm afraid to show you my heart because if you hurt it, I don't know how I'm going to recover. You know, I have a high need to feel protected and I don't. So I have to be the one that protects myself from everyone else. So I have to beat you to it, basically. I have to scare you away from trying to ever think about hurting me. Which, you know, I married Ben, who's a, was a passive communicator as well. So we were, we just followed suit with you and mom. Really, we did. We may have learned a little quicker. Thank you for the road you led ahead of us. I thank both of you for Yes. Yeah. But it is that that aggressive communicator always looks like the bad guy. And that's the part that, you know, I'm so thankful when Ben and I are working together with couples is that we don't let the noble one get away and we don't let the aggressive one get away. They're both an evil form of communication.
And they're both jacking the anxiety up. I mean, the passive says, I don't matter, you matter. And the aggressive communicator says, you don't matter, I matter. So there's an agreement here. Only one of us matters. And that's, and then guess who finds each other and marries each other?
All of us.
And so it's obvious to anyone observing this relationship who the evil one is and who the victim is. Instead of realizing that both of them are deeply committed to jacking up the fear in this communication process.
And then there's another style of communication is the passive aggressive, which I think that if I mean, for me as the aggressive style, I know that I could be passive aggressive. You know, when I'm trying to be better, when I'm trying to manage myself better and think I'm being noble and it's still got a side of side dish of aggression. So that's where my passive aggressive comes. I've asked Ben, I don't know about you, but did you feel like you could easily jump into passive aggressive?
Yeah. Well, that's passive? Sarcasm, passive aggressive, you know, innuendos, kind of indirect communication, inferring evil, you know, or, you know, judging people's motives, just kind of a non-confrontational, pull out a Bible verse or 10, you know, you just, there's just lots of ways to heap condemnation, hurt people, but with a smile and gentle eyes and what? Oh, look, you're bleeding. Where'd I get this knife? And it that process, passive aggressive, is really the worst of both because it's cloaked. It's hiding. And the recipient of passive aggressive looks crazy. Because they are freaking out like something's happened to them. And the other person's like, I don't understand why they're so dramatic.
So that's the wolf in sheep's clothing.
The chocolate covered dragon is what we call it, you know, in the communications section in Keep Your Love On. Chocolate covered dragon is the do whatever you want. You always have, haven't you? You're like,
that felt awful.
You know that, and that. You're going to start caring now, are you? Things, you know, just that passive aggressive. And the practice of all three of these things is to jack up the anxiety and to introduce something that preserves distance, something that promotes disconnection, and then I feel completely justified in my practice towards those goals, which is dumb.
So ultimately, the goal in communication is to be a powerful communicator that's respectful and assertive.
So assertive communication is the one where I manage me.
And I'm a powerful person walking around, regardless of what you're going to do, being powerful or not, I manage myself.
My goals connection.
Uh-huh. I keep my love on, yeah. all those things. So yeah. that's the assertive communication, is not afraid to set boundaries, really does communicate with truth and love and all those things. So that is the main goal.
Committed to lowering anxiety mm-hmm. and increasing the I care, I love, I matter, mm-hmm. and so do you.
Yeah.
Your needs, your thoughts, your feelings matter, and so do mine. So two powerful people, here we go back to the pillars and mm-hmm. all that stuff. We are going to demand high levels of respect and responsibility as yeah. assertive communicators.
I ask people a lot in parenting and relationship conversations we'll have of, how much disrespect do you want as a culture of your family? And everyone looks at me like I'm crazy for asking that. Mm-hmm. And they're like, none. I'm like, okay, how much do you participate in? And they're like, well, you know, and
way too much.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that, you know, one of the, my favorite goals to understand when talking about communication is that while I'm not searching for agreement, I'm searching to understand.
Mm-hmm. So we have the styles of communication mm-hmm. we just talked about, and now you're talking about the goals.
Yes.
You know, what is your goal in communicating? Obviously, the goal in the relationship is connection. But the goal in communication typically
yeah.
is to get the other person to agree with your truth.
Right.
So that's why it turns into a contest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wonder if I can win
yeah.
this conversation. Like, all right, well, you have just set yourself up for an argument
yeah.
and a power struggle.
And just torn apart your connection.
Yeah. And here goes the anxiety level, because I feel controlled.
Mm-hmm.
I feel manipulated. I feel punished for not being you.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that we, you know, we build the connection is keeping the conversation aimed at understanding
mm-hmm.
who's in there, what do you need, create a safe place for you to be truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, tell me the truth, trust. The love is the understanding part. And I'm going to, as my goal, I want to build a safe place, build the message. I care about you. Mm-hmm. My goal is connection. So help me understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I think is a really hard thing to lean into, is that your goal really is to understand
mm-hmm.
and not to agree. Because I think it is, we are obsessed with agreement and value. Like that's the value statement, is if we agree, we have value, instead of.
Like, I feel validated mm-hmm. if I change your mind.
Yeah.
I feel validated if you agree with me.
So I think if you're looking for a more productive, successful way of communicating, I think you need to change your goal from agreement to understanding.
Yeah, every time.
Every time. All right, well, we're going to jump into some questions.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that.
Well,
should
let's
be
take
fun.
A break. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey there. Show promoter Christian Zamora here, and I want to talk to you about being a Life Academy facilitator. What is a Life Academy facilitator? It's someone who helps others create healthy relationships by leading a Life Academy course. Who can be a Life Academy facilitator? Anyone. That means you too. You don't have to be a relationship expert, just a regular person with a heart to help. So if you want to learn more, go to loplifeacademy.com and click lead a class. That's loplifeacademy.com and click lead a class.
All right, so we're going to take some questions.
Awesome.
On communication.
Okay.
So the first one is from John, who comes from Nevada.
Okay.
Hi, guys. My question is about bringing up a conversation with somebody who's being mean with their words, that they are being critical, they're being condescending, they're being rude, they might embarrass you or shame you in public. Bringing up that conflict with a loved one or spouse, when you have to address them about the things they're saying about you, what would you advise?
Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hard to hang in there while somebody's jabbing you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's hard not to react. But it's typically because that person's trying to communicate to you some judgment and then get you to agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you about you, and then you agree, which never goes well. Yeah, this is couples, you know, like you, huh?
Yeah.
Except they don't say huh.
They just don't say that.
This is your spot. This is where you jump in with your defensiveness, mm-hmm. your disagreement.
Yeah.
And then we argue about if you judge me correctly or not.
Yeah.
And we never do get to the truth.
I think, you know, I'm more critical than Ben is, for sure. So there's been times in our marriage where I am just being critical. I'm talking about it. Maybe him and the feedback he normally gives me later, usually when we're not in a public setting, is I don't know if you're trying to do this, but it's starting to feel hurtful. Mm-hmm. And again, because we have this level of relationship and being able to exchange truth, I will make adjustments. But the first time I heard that was like, oh, no, I'm not, mm-hmm. which is that defensiveness you're talking about. But mm-hmm. I think as you grow in your relationship and your connection and that goal is obvious, I think it's easier to start hearing that feedback. And the other thing Ben said is, did anything good happen today? Mm. You know, which is good information for me. Mm. I'm doing that thing where I'm letting that rule my mouth, my anxiety is overflowing or, you know. So those are good questions that Ben asked me in those moments.
I think, you know, this is where the I statements come in. You know, I feel a feeling. Mm-hmm. I don't feel a judgment.
Yeah.
You know, I feel a need. I don't feel a manipulation. And so that, you know, I feel hurt when you say those things about our daughter. Mm-hmm. And I need to feel your partnership and protection when we're frustrated about stuff that she's doing. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that was gold. That was this great information about what's going on inside of me. And actually, none of it was about you.
Yeah.
And this is how we transition through a responsible, self-controlled truth. Is okay, I'm feeling scared, I'm feeling hurt, I'm feeling disconnected, I'm feeling rejected, I'm feeling attacked.
Yeah.
When you use words like stupid and irresponsible and
immature,
and I need to feel cared about, loved while you share your frustrations. Mm-hmm. Like there's truth that you did not know. You did not know any of that. All you know about really is your frustrations. Mm-hmm. All you really know about is what you want to change.
Yeah.
So if you want this to go better, tell me about you. Don't tell me about me.
Which is a hard practice.
It is.
So again, if you didn't catch those, those are the I messages. They're mm-hmm. really, really helpful.
And all that's in the communication section of Keep Your Love On.
So, all right. Next question comes from Robin from Alabama.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. I have a question. What if you're in a relationship where you have expressed your needs and the other person is not willing to meet your needs, and also they're not willing to share what they need, and it's just all a big mess?
All a big mess.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It is frustrating. Now, a couple things. One is, A, they don't feel safe enough to do it. Mm-hmm. B, they have no idea what they need.
Yeah. This is a common thing that we run into, I feel like, all the time with what do you need?
Yeah.
It's a blank stare.
I remember for 6 years working with men and women convicted of domestic violence. Mm. And they would be court ordered to spend 2.5 hours a week with me. And I you know, none of these people are, you know, going to be in counseling, or they're not going to be in a church. They're not mm-hmm. going to be anywhere where I can spend this kind of quality time with them. And they 100% of the time could not tell me what they were feeling besides, I feel pissed. Mm-hmm. I feel okay. Wow. And I was okay until you pissed me off.
Right.
And I'll be okay if you quit asking me these questions. If you quit, basically controlling my emotions with your behavior, communication, whatever. So we would start out with these lists of feelings, and they wouldn't get through the A's. So we had lots of A feelings. I feel aggressive. I feel agitated. I feel, angry has a lot of different things, but really what's hiding in there is I feel rejected.
Mm, yes.
I feel judged. I feel misunderstood. Mm-hmm. So I would, we put those little faces. This back before emojis were around, right? Our emojis were a Xerox copy, mimeograph copy of these little faces, and they would point and there's a word under there like I feel upset. Oh, I feel hurt. Right. And so learning to put words to emotions, was step one. So many of these people did not know what they were feeling, so they did not know what they needed to feel.
I know the exchange with Ben and I, because he struggled as well to find his need and what he was feeling. And so the feeling wheel, which you could look up online, I mean, there's a million different options. That's kind of breaking down even more the sad, the angry, kind of with more definition of misunderstood or different things like that. So if you want that, that's a really great tool. The other question that he asked, and I love it, is that what do you need to feel? Because I think in the moment, they know they need to feel something different. So if it's getting to the place of what do you need, if they can't answer that, he asks the question, what do you need to feel? And it just is another step closer to kind of helping them identify what's needed in this moment or this exchange. So I find those are really helpful for people to discover that. And the question, how can I help you feel safe? Those are other great tools. So our next question comes from Randy from Texas.
Randy.
Hello, Danny and Brittany. I have a question about speaking the truth in love. I've heard it said that there's a difference between speaking the truth in love and loving to speak the truth. Could you help me differentiate between the two?
I feel like we just talked about this.
Well, we did. That's a great way to say it, though.
Yeah.
I love to tell you my truth.
Yeah. And are you listening and are you ready to agree with my truth?
Yeah, and it's my version of how I've interpreted reality, and that somehow is truth. Instead of, let me show you me.
Yeah.
And back to our last question, do I even know me well enough to show you me? And that self-awareness process is personal growth. It's something that you have to take responsibility for, because classically, most people did not learn this as a child. Most people do not bring that into a relationship. They have to learn it once they get exposed that I don't know how to do this. I don't even know who I am. I don't even know what I feel. I don't even know what I need to feel. I just know I feel pain. And I think you are my comforter. So let me manipulate you like a blanket and wrap myself up in what I'm hoping to comfort myself with. Or let me prepare you like a meal and I'll eat you and comfort myself or whatever. I mean, but when I don't know what's wrong and I don't know how to show you me and I actually think you are my solution, then I have to manipulate in the relationship to hope to feel better.
I know that having a more critical eye can be a beautiful thing, but also I feel like it lends me to thinking that my criticalness is always truth. If Ben was here, he'd say that again.
Is this being recorded?
Yeah, exactly. And so I think this is where the exchange of feedback and having value for feedback. And I love that you said the personal growth, because I am more aware than ever my thought process because of getting feedback of how I'm wired and different things like that. So I think that's a really great option. All right. Last question comes from Maggie from Illinois.
What do you do if you find yourself in a relationship where you mostly argue And you don't remember the last time you had respectful conversation.
Yeah, well, it's back to disconnection is the biggest problem in the world.
Yeah.
You know, that those disconnections, those disagreements that lead to disconnection, those mm-hmm. that disrespectful exchange that leads to disconnection, those are the symptom or those are the precursors. You know, like if I can be aware of my anger, my judgment, my unforgiveness, if I can be aware of that, then I know I'm going to go create a disconnection right now.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have a conversation? Oh, you mean a disconnection?
Yeah.
I think that's what I see in your eyes. You look really intense. That, if I can own that and not add to the disconnect, because my goal is connection, because I've grown a habit of ownership of what I do to punish someone,
mm-hmm.
then that changes my trajectory in a relationship upon approach. If I just have the habit, and you just have the habit of distance as a goal,
mm-hmm.
then I won't adjust. You won't adjust. And we're going to go ahead and jump in that disrespect pool and float around for a while, splash each other, and blame it on communication.
Yeah.
Instead of blaming it on a terrible goal.
Mm-hmm. I think I see this happen a lot with couples that we work with. When they choose to argue or hunker down in the things that feel so unnecessary, like how the dishwasher gets loaded or how laundry's folded or when it you know, you didn't, I don't know, close the door or the garage last night. You know, it just becomes every single thing I choose to argue about because that's the safest place to live. It's just in this land of disconnect. It's just like that's what we're going to do and we're going to protect over and over again, which just feels like it piles onto that's your underlining goal.
And I would never talk to a friend like this.
No, and
you
that's
know, I would never talk to somebody that I wanted a connection with. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't talk to my boss like this. You know, yeah. I wouldn't talk to a police officer like this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to build a connection. I'm trying to reduce anxiety. I'm trying to communicate value for the relationship. And yet when we have the practice of disconnect with somebody we feel stuck with,
mm-hmm.
then it's just like, I'm just irritated. I'm just careless. I'm adding to the distance
mm-hmm.
as a style of communication.
Totally. Man, well, get unstuck. Yeah. Work, get some good communication styles.
Own the style.
Yeah.
Be assertive. Use your iMessages. Make an agreement. I will not tell you about you, but I will tell you about me
mm-hmm.
so we can speak the truth in love.
Yeah, that's good. All right, well, we're going to move on to testimony in just a minute,
which is
fun. So these were great questions. That was good. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
During the last break, I invited you to be a Life Academy facilitator. And I just wanted to quickly read one of the testimonies from our facilitators because it's awesome. My favorite part of being a facilitator is that I get to help people process the lesson by asking them questions that make it personal and tangible while pointing them to Jesus. I mean, come on. If you want to experience breakthrough in your community with your church, organization, or family and friends, become a Life Academy facilitator. And you can do this by visiting loplifeacademy.com and clicking Lead a Class to learn more. That's LOP. lifeacademy.com and click Lead a Class.
So we have a testimony coming to us from Leah in California.
What?
She's going to share with us.
Awesome.
Okay.
Hi, Ben and Brittany and the Kylo Show. I just wanted to share about how the message of Keep Your Love On has affected my life personally. I've had the privilege of actually being exposed to the culture of Keep Your Love On for a lot of years and exchanging out the tools that I grew up with, which were very passive as well as codependent, and just learning how to be powerful and how to communicate well. and really hadn't realized the value of these tools until I got into a relationship with who is now my husband. And it really, you know, brought out the importance of having good tools and what it looks like to communicate respectfully. Because my husband, he was not given great tools growing up. The tools that were modeled for him were just tell the truth, and whether it's nice or not, and the other person needs to just adjust because you're responsible for how I feel. Or in reaction to that kind of all-out war, his tool was to just be silent and not actually say how he felt and just, you know, kind of disappear in the fight because nobody cared anyway what mattered to him. And so it became really apparent that we needed some new skills to walk out healthy communication in our relationship and marriage. And so I had to actually, you know, become powerful in communicating with him, just that, you know, I'm not actually going to have a conversation if you're not going to communicate respectfully, that I cared what he had to say, but I wasn't going to actually listen to, you know, if it wasn't going to be communicated in a manner that was not abusive. But more often it was, you know, he really loves and cares for me. So he wouldn't say anything because he didn't want to hurt me or do anything painful. So he just would be silent. And, you know, I had to communicate to him like, hey, I actually want to hear what's going on inside of you. And it actually is painful for me when you give me the silent treatment. I feel like an outsider in your life and not your wife, or I feel like you don't care because, you know, you don't engage. And, you know, that was a big adjustment for him. One, to have someone who cared about what he had to say, because that had never been the case before. And then to learn how to communicate that in a way that was, you know, respectful and powerful, not a victim. And so, you know, it has really helped us in just building a foundation in our marriage to realize that we both have to show up as powerful and respectful communicators. And, you know, build an actual really strong marriage foundation of just being able to communicate well. And it's been super freeing for my husband to realize that I have value for what he has to say, that I'm not wanting to fight him, but I actually want to connect with him. And, you know, that I want both of us to show up equally in our marriage. And I just feel like it has set us up for, you know, creating a new legacy going forward for our children and grandchildren, and just kind of changing that, you know, the tools that were given to us in years past, but now we get to change, you know, for the future. So thank you so much for all that you do and for just, you know, giving new tools in these areas that most people feel so lost. Really appreciate it.
That was a good testimony.
Great testimony. It's very normal to grow up in a family not knowing how to do anything except react or hide.
Yes. Fight or flight.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
Small target. Stay a small target until it's war time. Uh-huh. And then you just fight it out. And then we take that and reproduce it. Mm-hmm. And so listening to Leah's testimony is really about what do we do when we blend all this together? Because I know Leah, and she's been around this stuff for a long time. And Brian comes into this with, what are you talking about? You know, I'm just trying not to be hurtful.
Yeah.
I'm just being quiet because I'm trying really hard not to be hurtful, or I'm trying really hard to be a small target right now.
And I love the, you know, the breakthrough that's come just from getting into this culture. You know, Leah's been around for a while and her husband's a newcomer to the fun, but he's jumping in and he's challenging himself and really, you know, putting to work. And it is a, it's a new tool that you're trying to like develop.
He's all in.
That you've never had before. Mm-hmm. And now I'm married and having to figure this out, which mm-hmm. is a world of difference of just trying to figure it out internally on my own. But then when I blend a life next to someone else, you know, it can be overwhelming to put down tools that don't work, that produce the same thing that I don't want to have anymore in my family, mm-hmm. And pick up something that feels so foreign. And I think that, you know, Ben and I walked through this a little bit, and that I was very used to this communication stuff. Mm-hmm. And Ben came in, and, you know, we were still so young, so there's lots of learning on both parties for sure.
How young were you?
We were 18 and 19 when Oof. We got married, so long time ago. But, you know, just that same thing of having to navigate and not making yourself a small target, not making yourself a large, you know, you're scaring me, I'm going to go
intimidator,
eat you, mm-hmm. you know. And we had a situation that happened just during this last season when COVID hit, and we were changed everything in our life from the kids are all home from school. I'm going to homeschool. Ben's schools, that his work is like now home but not, and all these different things going on. And so we had to adjust, and we had this conversation, and I remember it was really intense, and we don't have very many of those conversations anymore, but, or very often I should say. And we had this conversation, and I bring out my old self because I am really scared based off of the information I'm hearing. Mm. And one of my favorite tools in communication, which we haven't talked about, which I know these guys have used, but when I responded horribly, Ben leaned in and go, "What did you hear me say?" Because in that moment, I heard him say that he wasn't going to protect me. He was out to protect himself. I wasn't the priority. And it's just crazy how when you kind of go back to your old ways of doing things and you bring out whatever style of communication you are, if you are met with someone that doesn't have the goal of connection, it's just kind of like this war of chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, it's survival.
It is.
Absolute survival. And it's how can I force you to surrender and submit to what I'm hoping is going to supply my needs?
Yeah. So I was so thankful that that was not what I was met with. Mm-hmm. I was met with the man that said, "What did you hear me say?"
Whoa.
Which was instant anxiety lowering moment for me. And I realized, oh man, I did that thing. I whipped out my old self, and you met me with a better version of yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, you have the goal of connection. You're here to protect me. I have to believe that's truth. Now let's have this conversation successfully.
Yeah. We can't both be down at the same time.
Yeah.
One of us has to stay up and keep the standard. We can't both lose our standard at the same time. Yeah. Well, that's mature love casts out fear. Mm-hmm. So mature people are the ones that bring mature love. And it is a ongoing process. It's so easy to manifest immature love mm-hmm. and broadcast it and invite fear in. Hey, fear, why don't you come on in here and just tear up a furniture for a little while, and maybe you could poop in the corner over there, and why don't you bite somebody on the way out, all right? Because we love nothing more than just a real visit from fear. Mm-hmm. And mature love says, no.
Yeah.
No, we've done that. We lived there. We had fear out of its cage all over this house again and again. Mm-hmm. We're done. And it is, you know, I mean, it shows up when we turn to survival mode. Mm-hmm. You know, when I actually think I have to protect myself from you, this environment, this situation, I have to protect myself. So it's that orphan thing. Mm. You know, that orphan jumps up and says, "I'll take it from here."
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I'm going to trust love. As dumb as that sounds and as vulnerable as that feels right now, I'm going to trust love. Love, Lord, what should I do?
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw, I think it was Dan Fairley recently said that love is not God, but God is love.
Mm.
Like, oof, okay, somebody should write that down real quick. Write that down, because a lot of people think that feelings are the master.
Mm.
Feelings are Lord. And it's like, no, if I know God, then I know his love. And so I have access to it. I can wrap myself in it. I can be transformed through the renewing of my survivor and my orphan, and I can metamorphosize into Christ-like, the mind of Christ. I can mm-hmm. I can move there, maturing into that. And there you go. That's what I'm doing. I'm on that quest, and I get about a million opportunities to test it out.
Yeah. In a million different ways you weren't expecting. That's the fun of all of this.
Usually not expecting them.
Yeah. Well, I do love, and Leah just kind of just paving a way for something different than what was handed to her. And same with Brian. Like, mm-hmm. it feels like they're really newlyweds, and they are building a culture that is something that they want to protect and fight, and that's full of, love and an environment where they're really establishing their seven pillars. It feels like they're chasing after, how do we make this house somewhere that we want to live, that a culture that's going to thrive, that is just beautiful relationships and all about keeping your love on.
Probably my favorite thing is to watch people build a legacy,
mm-hmm.
Something that I want to give my children,
mm-hmm.
who will give their children. I mean, it'd be like if I, I built a corporation to the point to where my grandchildren didn't have to work. They got to choose their work. They got to choose what they're going to do because they were set up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, that's what I want to do. And that's what I just, I so enjoy watching people bring their normals and go, oh gosh, we got to adjust some stuff here. Mm-hmm. This is not what I'm going to impart to my family, who then will go on and make the same things. As much as possible, we become aware of what is going on. What am I bringing to the problem?
Mm-hmm.
What did I bring to how easy it is to disconnect? What did I bring to how easy is it to have a disrespectful exchange? What am I bringing to trying to be controlling when I get scared? What am I contributing to that? Because my adjustments to that input right there, that's half the problem.
Yeah. Which I think, in Randy's question, we were talking about self-awareness, and so much is back to that, kind of that reflecting of what is my piece to play and what am I bringing?
Mm-hmm.
But I really just think about, if you're like Leah and you got married and you are bringing a normal that you don't necessarily want to reproduce in your communication, it sounds like Brian is too, I would just encourage you to take that testimony as your own,
mm-hmm.
and to challenge yourself of what kind of communication do I want to be in this marriage, and what legacy do I want to be producing,
mm-hmm.
from here on out? So I'm not stuck. I'm not powerless to the last set of tools, but really I have access to something that's so beautiful that can change the way that we do relationships from here on out. So if that's something you want, I would take it. It's up for grabs. So, but mm-hmm. this was fun.
Yep. This is a good one.
It's always fun talking about communication because it is a hot topic for most people. And respectful communication.
Respectful communication.
That's the goal.
We all been trained in disrespectful communication.
But we're chasing after the good stuff now.
Come on.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us at The Kylo Show, and we will talk to you guys next time.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join us next week when Danny and Brittany talk about the fifth and final principle, honoring healthy boundaries. Never miss an episode by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watching us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your listener questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck, Leah Alexander, Anna Hill, and Sherry Silk. Sound engineered and edited by Taylor Silk, and promoted by me, Christian Zamora. We'll see you next time.
Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place. You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
You're the blue skies kind, the let's take the long trail kind, the immerse yourself in nature kind, the teach a new generation to love and preserve it too kind, the cold local brews after a day full of adventure kind, the adventurous kind, the friendly kind, the local culture seeker kind, and simply the kind. Kind. You're the checkout visit parkcity.com right now kind. Park City, Utah. For the mountain kind.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clear skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
At Best Western, when you stay 3 nights this summer, you earn 10,000 bonus points. And while you're reliving your summer childhood road trip memories, they're creating new ones. So check into any one of our more than 2,300 hotels and make more memories to look back on. Here, we'll set the scene. You put the low right on me. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for terms and conditions.
Summer. Wait, we need to finish school shopping.
We've got this. Target has $5 lunch boxes.
And now new lower prices on the kids' favorite Good & Gather snacks.
And we're done.
Now, where were we?
When it comes to finishing your supply list, Target has your back to school.